And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Hey, have you got a funny bone? Do you like to laugh? Do you like comedy? I do. Now, I'm really not a real comedy buff. I mean, I don't, you know, I as Wanda will tell you, you know, I don't go to movies. I watch some movies on TV, but even that's rare. I love the news programs on TV, and I'm glad my wife, Wanda, she doesn't mind watching all the news programs. There's so many now on cable TV that I pretty well specialize in, you know, news and current events and financial news and keep up with that. But every once in a while, we'll watch a movie. But as far as going to an actual theater, I think it may have been, well, 25 years since I've gone to a theater. Sometimes my wife, Wanda, will go with our granddaughter, Jessica, because I don't go. Okay, if you don't take me, she threatens me, I'm going to ask Jessica. I say, well, that's a good idea. Call Jessica. Jessica's 25 years old, and, you know, and she usually says, sure, Mumsy, I'll go with you. That mean old Papaw can stay home. Well, she didn't really say that, but she may think that, but she doesn't say it. She's kind. In any case, they go to these movies, and they see these movies, and they come back, and they tell me about them, and, oh, you should have gone. It was so inspiring. It was so lovely. Sure. Sure it was. I'll catch it next time, you know, but I never do. Isn't that terrible? Okay. But I spend the time at home writing, studying. I enjoy that. In fact, even when I watch news programs on TV, I've got this little, what do they call those things in front of you? You know, the thing you put your feet on. Well, I can't usually put my feet on mine because it's full of books and magazines and articles. When are you going to clean that thing? Okay, get all that stuff off there. Okay, well, wives do suffer, don't they? You know, they were put on earth just to suffer from mean old husbands, you know, who don't do what they're supposed to. That's me. Well, I shouldn't be confessing these things, should I, Jerry? Jerry Barrett's over here at the punching the buttons. I really shouldn't. But anyway, back to comedy club or comedy. I do enjoy a good, nice joke as well as anybody else. And I like to laugh. And there have been a lot of times in my life when, you know, you just laugh. You laugh so much. Have you ever laughed so much, Jerry, that you literally lost your breath and almost, you know, fell out? I have, you know, and it's great to laugh like that. Even the Bible says, you know, laughter is good for the soul. If it says that in the Bible, you know, laughter and mirth is good for the soul. Great, laugh, have fun, enjoy yourself. I suspect Jesus, he was pretty sober-minded, but maybe he had a few laughs with his disciples. I don't know. You know, possibly. Nothing in the Bible about it, but, you know, could be. There's a lot of things that Jesus did that are not in the Bible, but in any case, I'll talk to you today about comedians. Comedians. Now, you may say, well, I don't know. Hope Tex doesn't start giving us all these jokes and playing clips of comedians. Oh, no worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to do that. But I do want you to know about comedians, and especially Jewish comedians. In fact, I'm going to start to introduce you, maybe you'll become a member today, of the Jewish Comedy Club. The Jewish Comedy Club. I've been thinking a lot about the state of America, worrying about it, and what's really been happening in our country. And especially the moral basis, the underpinnings, the moral fiber of our country. It's been totally eaten away. Friends, you know that. I know that. And I've been wondering, what are some of the means that they've done it with? Well, we know about fiendish movies, you know, like Friday the 13th and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, all these fiendish movies, the vampire series, that our kids, they've sucked our kids into the Harry Potter magic and witchcraft junk. I know about all those things. But did you know that Satan is making a lot of headway through comedy? What should be fun, what should be mirthful and bring laughter and joy, I believe is bringing hell to people. And I began to study comedy a little bit just recently. And you know, the first thing that I started with, I took out a pad of paper and I began to write down names of comedians that I either knew about or heard, I'd seen them on TV or whatever. I'm not one to go to these laugh stops or these comedy clubs. But, you know, back even back in the old days, Ed Sullivan would, the Ed Sullivan Show would have comedians and Johnny Carson. And, you know, if you're ever watching those shows, you see these comedians. I did notice at the time, and it didn't matter to me, but most of the comedians on the, you know, like the Johnny Carson or the old Jack Parr Show or whatever, they were always Jewish. Did you ever notice that? I'm going to give you the names of some of these people here in a minute. But did you ever notice that almost every one of them is Jewish? Not all, but a great number. Now, since Jews constitute about 2% of the population of America, 2.5% some say, that would mean out of over 300 million Americans, only 6 or 7 million are Jewish. In fact, the official demographers, you know, those are the people that keep track of population statistics and all of that, say that there are around 7.5 million Jews living in America. And the population now is nearing 320 million people. So there's not many Jews. Why is it that 95% at least of the comedians you see on television are Jewish? Many years ago, I was in the Air Force. I was an officer. And had a friend, he was fixing to go on leave. You know, it's like vacation for the military. I said, well, Bill, where are you going to go to, you and your wife? He said, we're going to go to Las Vegas. Now, I had never been to Las Vegas at the time. Later on, I did go to Las Vegas, and I really regretted going there. I was actually on my way, believe it or not, to Vietnam and Thailand, you know, back during the Vietnam War. So I decided to drive across the United States, my wife and I, from where we were stationed. Let's see, where was it at the time? I think it was Reese Air Force Base up in Lubbock, Texas. Oh, yes, the plantation paradise of the world. that's the one they have the song about, you know, pleasure or what is it? Happiness is seeing Lubbock in your rearview mirror as you drive out of town. Well, they did have great things there. They had a prairie dog town. It's about the only thing I remember that, you know, the people had there to enjoy, a prairie dog town in Lubbock, Texas. Now I'm going to get some letters from Lubbock people. Bless your little hearts. I love Lubbock. Yes, I really did. No, I didn't. Lord, I'm just kidding. Okay. In any case, it was almost a delight then to get my orders to be told I was going to go over to Vietnam and Thailand. So, from Lubbock, Texas. I was happy about that, but I changed my mind when I landed in Tonsonute Airfield in Saigon, where I fortunately only stayed a short while. I changed my mind. I was ready to go back to Lubbock, Texas. That 100-something degree temperature, you know, wilting heat. And oh, well, but enough of those old days. In any case, this friend of mine said, I'm going to go to Las Vegas. I said, what are you going to do there? Well, I'm going to gamble a little bit. But mostly we're going to take in the shows. I love the comedians. I said, well, what are they like? He said, they're filthy mouth. Well, now, he was not a Christian, and I was not living for the Lord at that time. I was a young officer, and he was too. He said, I love the filthy language. I said, you do? Well, you know, even though I wasn't living for the Lord at the time, I didn't really appreciate filthy language by comedians. It wasn't my cup of tea. And I said, what do you like about it? He said, you know, he said, on TV, they can only say so many things. Now, remember, folks, this was, I don't know, what, 40 years ago, long time ago. Now they say whatever they want to on TV, evidently. But back then, you know, they couldn't say those curse words. So he said, I like to go to Las Vegas, and they say, you know, blank, blank, and blank, blank. They just let it all hang out. They're just dirty, filthy mouth. They talk about the sex acts and, you know, bathroom humor and all that stuff. And I said, well, goodness gracious, Bill. You know, we're around here and I've never even seen you say a curse word. I thought you were a clean living guy. You know, you go to the officers club, you drink one beer at the most and then leave. What is all that to do? Yeah, I like to go there and let my hair down though. Take my wife. I thought about that. You know what? He likes to go to Las Vegas because unlike other places, like on television, these comedians are all filthy. Then he said to me, he said, you know, most of them are Jews. I said, they are? He said, oh yeah, every comedian there in all the clubs in Las Vegas. He said, the same thing at the boardwalk in New Jersey, Atlantic City, New Jersey. They're all Jews. I said, well, what difference does that make? I didn't fully know about the Jewish situation back then. He said, oh, don't you understand? Man, the Jews are just dirty. They're filthy mouth. It comes second nature to them. I said, where did you hear that at? He said, listen, Tex, you don't believe me? Come to Las Vegas with me and you'll see. Well, I said, I prefer not to go to Las Vegas. One thing, I don't gamble. You know, even if I weren't a Christian, I'm too cheap to gamble. You know, I'm too cheap. I'm not going to lose money. I don't go down to the 7-Eleven and buy lotteries, a dollar lottery or $2. I don't do that. I can't afford to lose $2. I know I'm going to lose it. Nobody wins. Well, I guess some people do, but I don't pay any attention to them. But he told me they're Jews, and that's why they have all this dirty language do all these dirty things. And people there lap it up. He said people just, they roll in the aisles practically. They love it. They do. So I said, what? I wonder what this has done to America, these comedians. I began to research some of these Jewish comedians and other comedians too, folks. And I want to introduce you to the Jewish Comedy Club today. Some of the things I'm going to tell you may say, Tex, you're out of your mind. These never happened. Well, research for yourself. I think you'll find that they did. And as a matter of fact, I saw a lot of these things myself on television. And then not only that, but there are many biographies and autobiographies of these comedians. See for yourself. They tell you what they did in some of their routines. Got an email recently about the fabulous Jewish comedians. They said Jewish comedy really began in earnest, not only during the vaudeville days, but in the Catskill Mountains of New York. See, that's where the rich Jews from New York City, Manhattan, and New Jersey would go. They'd go to these really, really ritzy, you know, expensive resorts up in the beautiful Adirondack or the Catskill Mountains of New York. Now, I've been up there, and it is beautiful. I've never been to those resorts, but I've just driven by on the highway and saw it's just gorgeous in mid and upper New York State. And it goes all the way up, you know, to Niagara Falls, which is amazingly beautiful, God-given sight. He says in this email, text, do you remember all those fabulous Jewish comedians? Shecky Green, Red Buttons, Toadie Fields, Joey Bishop, Milton Berle, Jan Murray, Danny Kaye, Henny Youngman, Buddy Hackett, Sid Caesar, Groucho Marx, Jackie Mason, Victor Borgia, Woody Allen, Joan Rivers, Lenny Bruce, George Burns, Alan Sherman, Jerry Lewis, Peter Sellers, Carl Reiner, Shelley Berman, Gene Wilder, George Jessel, Alan King, Mel Brooks, Jimmy Durante, Phil Silvers, Jack Carter, Rodney Dangerfield, Don Rickles, Jack Benny, Mansell Rubenstein, and so many others. Wow. I suppose if there was an encyclopedia of comedians, you'd probably find over 90% are Jewish. Look at all these names. You, by the way, not all of them have Jewish names, quote unquote, because a lot of Jews have changed their names over the years. I mean, Fields or Bishop or Green or Kay, Mason, could go either way, Sherman. But in this case, these were Jews. They were. If you'll remember the early days of Hollywood, you'll remember some of these people too. People like Milton Berle. People such as Sid Caesar, Groucho Marx, Phil Silvers, Remember Sergeant Bill Coe? Now, there's no doubt that these people have put out a lot of comedy that have made people laugh. Clean comedy, by the way. You know, I admit Sergeant Bill Coe, you know, he made a little bit of graft in his repertoire of tricks, but he did it in such an artful, skilled way. Sort of funny, yet you almost had to laugh at Sergeant Bill Coe. And who's that guy, the private that was with him, sort of the sad sack guy? And then there was the overweight guy. I used to watch Sergeant Bill Coe. Funny. But sometimes, evidently, these people have gone beyond what is appropriate, what is correct, certainly what is Christian or what Christians should accept. Like my good officer friend in the Air Force days, he went down there to see smut. He went to Las Vegas to see dirt. I understand a lot of young people are doing that today, boys and girls. They go see comedies to see dirt, to see sexual scenes. A young man, about 3 years ago, we went over some people's house, and he was telling me he had just seen this movie called Something About Mary, I think was the title of it. He said, "It was hilarious, Mr. Mars." I said, "Really, tell me about it." He says, "Well, I really can't with my mother and other women here." I said, "Well, I thought you told me you took your girlfriend to it." He was 21 years old. "Well, yeah, but she's young. She understands." "Really? I'd like to know what tell me what you saw." He said, "I'll tell you later." I said, "Okay." So he told me about the movie. I'm not going to tell you all about it. He said it's hilarious. He just laughed about it. Evidently, he said Cameron Diaz, a famous movie star. She is Jewish. Cameron Diaz. Seems like she's Hispanic, but she's actually a Jew. She has blonde hair, although most Jews who have blonde hair, it's usually dyed. They have dark hair, brunettes or whatever, and they dye their hair, of course. But in any case, he told me about it, and it had to do with everything from the guy masturbating. I hope if there are any kids, take them out of the room, folks. Today's show is going to be a little not X-rated. It's filthy, dirty, gross, disgusting, sick, satanic. Because I'm exposing these things. But I understand there's something about masturbation, and then the semen or whatever gets on the girl's hair, and she combs it in, and she likes it because it's like a jail. The most disgusting stuff. And the kids today have been taught this bathroom humor. You know, the filth of urination and defecation, and they make it into jokes. On HBO and on television and certainly at these comedy clubs. They turn the natural body functions into comedy. The things that we have always thought were private and you don't discuss in good company, they do openly. These people are filthy, smutty, just devilish. And they put it in movies and our kids go to see it. And their minds are warped. And they begin to think that this is normal to discuss and say these things and do these horrible things. I was at reading a newspaper recently. It was talking about best-selling books. It said a number one best-selling book now is for kids. But many adults are buying it, it said. The title, it was a comedy book written by a Jew. The title of it was, as if a parent was speaking, "Shut the blank blank up and go to sleep." And you can imagine what the blank blank words were. "Shut the blank blank up and go to sleep" is the name of a kid's book. Then there was another book for young teenagers that was on the bestsellers list. And it was entitled, "My Dad, blank blank," just a word for defecation. "My Dad, blank blank, on my," I forget what it was, "school satchel" or whatever. "My dad did his whatever on my title of a book. I mean, you go to bring your kids to a bookstore and you're going to see the kind of book, these kind of filthy titles on books. It was a bestseller written by Jewish authors. Ha ha. I really want to laugh about it. And over the years, the progression of filth and dirt and dirty words and gross monstrosities has grown and grown and grown. And even when they give these people awards for their great comedy, they make the award show, and when they go up to get their trophy, they make it into a opportunity to defame the name of Jesus. Because believe me, these people love to say the Lord's name in vain. Whether it's Jesus or God, they love cursing. They love to use Jesus' name, particularly in filth. They'll say things, Jesus, as if, you know, they're startled or whatever. You'd be amazed how many people who have names that seem to be Gentile are actually Jews. You remember the CNN host, his last name was Sanchez, Rick Sanchez. And Rick Sanchez was being interviewed by another newsman, and he mentioned the fact that Jon Stewart, of the Comedy Channel, the most popular show on the Comedy Channel, as a nightly show, he said, you know, John, his name is really not Jon Stewart, it's John Leibowitz. John Leibowitz, he changed his name to Stewart. Well, nothing new about that. But he said Leibowitz is a hater of Gentiles. He hates Gentiles. That's basically what Sanchez said. And he says, I'm in the news business, the TV news business, and all of the news anchors and all the most important people are all Jews, all the producers and so forth. That's why I'll never be a news anchor. He was a news anchor during the day, but he couldn't be on the nightly shows. Why? He's Hispanic. You can't have a Hispanic or even a Gentile. You got to have a Jew. The Jews run the whole program. Now, I know Fox has a few like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, but they have to kiss up to the Jews. They have to talk about how great Israel is and why America needs to be involved in Israeli wars and all of that kind of stuff. By Bill O'Reilly was a keynote speaker at the Jewish ADL down in California. It's the only reason they allow them on the show. Friends, let's talk about some of these. For example, Kathy Griffin. Sound like a Gentile name? It's not. She's Jewish. She constantly makes derogatory remarks about Jesus Christ and about Christianity. And then she was given an award for some comedy show she did. They love to give the ones that are the most hateful of Jesus, they love to give them the awards. Kathy Griffin was given an award. When she got up to the podium and accepted her award, she says something, muttered something about Jesus Christ. And then she says, well, she said, Jesus, if you're out there, suck it. I don't know what that meant exactly, but it was some foul thing. And you know, the audience, mostly Jews, just, they loved it. Jesus, suck it. Sarah Silverman is another Jewish woman who is a very famous comedian today. She's had her own HBO special, just like Kathy Griffin did. HBO is one of the dirtiest, filthiest, more hideous movie channels and show channels there is. But Kathy Griffin had a show, and then this Sarah Silverman. Sarah Silverman, there's a Jewish name for you. She had a special. Guess what the title of it was? The Magic Jesus. The Magic Jesus. She made fun of Jesus. In one scene, she had just had promiscuous sex with a black man who, according to the script and according to their language, was Jesus. Or God. She had just had sex with a black Jesus. Woke up the next morning and she was smoking a cigarette and so was Jesus. And Jesus was asking her, was it good for you? And she was letting him know that, no, it wasn't good. I didn't enjoy sex with you. You're not that good in bed, Jesus. Folks, this is blasphemy. This is blasphemy. Was I mad when I saw this because I went on YouTube. I wanted to see it for myself. I've seen a lot of these things on YouTube recently. Was I mad at Sarah Silverman? No. Did I want to cry? Yes. Did I shed tears about it? Yes. In fact, it hurts me to even think about what I saw on YouTube right now, thinking about it. Then Silverman, on another HBO show, talked about how she thought it was wonderful that Jesus died on the cross. She says they blamed the Jews for killing Jesus. You're right, we killed him. I'm proud of it. I'm glad we killed him. Roseanne Barr, certainly anti-Christian. Roseanne Barr, Jewish. You know, just to show you how evil the whole system is, she was invited down to San Diego for the San Diego Padres to sing the national anthem. They obviously wanted to desecrate the national anthem. So you can give the credit to the owner of the San Diego Padres and the officials that run the San Diego baseball team there and the whole program, the stadium and so forth. They had Roseanne Barr. Oh, say, can you see? She sounded just like that. In fact, I think I might just go on the road and say I'm the male Roseanne Barr. I'd be about as successful, perhaps. Well, actually, I wouldn't because I don't have her filthy mouth. But Roseanne Barr sang this song in a screechy voice, as the management knew she would. They were making fun of the national anthem by having this Jewish witch. And by the way, she does say she believes in a goddess and not God. And Roseanne Barr also has said, I am a socialist. And Roseanne Barr has also said on national television recently, she said, we need to take out the 1% rich that are Republicans and take them out and kill them all. Yeah, that's a great political philosophy you got there, girl. In any case, Roseanne Barr, among other things, I'm not going to talk about her cocaine addiction that she had and all that stuff. But there she was singing the national anthem and the whole crowd began to boo her. Well, what they really should have taken, I'm really just stating this. I know they really should have burned the stadium down and taken some sticks to the manager and the whole thing. In fact, they should have just run the whole team out of town. Said, if you allow something like this on, you're not part of San Diego, but they didn't. And by the way, I really don't want anybody to burn a stadium down or to get sticks after some people, but they sure should have protested and not just at the game. So as they were booing her, you know what she did? Roseanne Barr stopped her singing and grabbed her crotch and spit on the ground. Now, folks, let me explain to you what does that mean? That is a Jewish ritual. Grabbing your crotch, your sexual organ, and spitting on the ground. Let me tell you when the Jews do it. In their Jewish Talmud, their holy book, they're told that when they pass a Christian church, when a Jew walks down a sidewalk and passes a Christian church, he is to grab his crotch and spit on the ground to show his disrespect for the Christian church and for Christ. She was showing her disrespect for Jesus Christ and saying, na 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 na, take this crowd, because she knew probably most of them, as 97.5% of Americans are Gentiles. Take this, grabbing her crotch, spitting on the ground. By the way, the Jews do the same thing. They're told to do this in their Talmud when they pass a Christian cemetery, to grab their crotch and spit on the ground, to even desecrate the dead Christians that are in that cemetery. Horrible. The Jewish Comedy Club. Do you want to be a member of it? This text, Mars, we're going to be right back. We're going to go for a break, and then I'm going to give you some more information about the filthy, the dirty, the gross, the disgusting, the sick, and the satanic of the Jewish comedians. We'll be right back. Text Mars back again. Hey, folks. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., November the 16th. And that evening, we're going to have a wonderful, conference, truth conference. I'll be speaking there for the American Free Press. They're sponsoring it. And David Irving, the very famous historian from England, oh, he's been in a lot of controversial trouble, but he was on the bestsellers list, but lately, well, they've been blacklisting him over there. You'll have to come and find out all about what the hubbub's all about. But fantastic books, The Secrets of World War II, The Secrets of Hitler and Churchill and so forth, and Roosevelt probably. A lot of interesting things going, and even all the way up to today, what's going on in history. And David Irving will be there to speak, and then I will also speak, have an interesting topic. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I think you'll like it. I've never spoken publicly exactly on this subject before, and I think it'll be a shocker. And I hope you'll come. Wanda will be with me. We'd love to shake your hand, maybe hug your neck. Hope that doesn't turn you off. Maybe somebody may not come and say, I don't want you to hug my neck. Okay, well, I won't hug your neck if you don't want me to, but I'd love to meet you. We'll have a little book table there probably. We'll sign your book, or you can buy another copy and we'll autograph it. You don't have to buy anything. There is an admissions charge to register and everything. It's $90 for a single person and $160 for a couple. Okay, $90 for a single, $160 for a couple. There'll be a meal. It'll be sort of like a banquet. There'll be tables and everything, and they'll come out and serve everybody. And there'll be other speakers there besides me. I'm sure Willis Carto, the founder and publisher of American Free Press, will be there. Some folks from the Barnes Review Journal, a historical review, revisionist journal, will be there as well. I bet my friends like Victor Thorne, you know, the author of 9/11 Evil, he'll be there. I hope some of these other folks will speak just a little bit. I know David Irving and I will be the main speakers, but I hope some of the others will come in. Michael Collins Piper is going to be the master of ceremony. You know, he's written The New Babylon, The New Jerusalem. He wrote the book The Final Judgment, the book that really tells it like it is about the JFK assassination. Came down here to Austin, Texas, to our conference we had about a year and a half ago. Michael Collins Piper was one of the main speakers. He's going to be the MC. And he always has a few jokes. Talk about comedy. Michael Collins Piper always has a few funny things to say. I just hope I don't get roasted. You know, you always have to guard yourself against Michael Collins Piper, who, by the way, is a great friend of mine. Hey, I might just roast him, Jerry. Wouldn't that be fun to roast Michael Collins Piper? I don't want to do that to Willis Carto. He's very serious minded. He's quite a genius of a man. He's very serious, sober minded. Very intellectual, you know, but Michael, he's intellectual, but he has a funny bone. Well, hey, you know, Willis Carto does too, actually. So anyway, so I'm going to have some fun there. I want you to come, folks, if you can, even if you have to fly in, you're going to enjoy it. I'm not going to tell you every little thing about it, where it's going to be. You're going to be surprised. You'll be surprised where it's at, but believe me, you're going to see some sights you've never seen before in Washington, D.C. We'll start out and, well, anyway, I'm not going to tell you about it, but listen, you'll want to go, okay? If you can, November the 16th, just one night, you can get away, okay? It's in the middle of the week. You can get back to your Saturday football game or Sunday, whatever it is. Okay, here's how to find out about it. Find out more details to get a little map of where it's going to be. Now, I think they're going to want you to subscribe to the American Free Press. Okay, you'll have to do that, but you'll love it. It's a weekly newspaper, Patriot, Nationalist, pro-America, America First type newspaper, the American Free Press. You'll have to subscribe to that. But you can do that when you register. Here's how you register. You call Julia. Julia. Isn't that a great old name? Julia. I love that name. At 202. Write this down now, folks. 202-544-5977. 202-544-5977. 5977s. She'll send you a map. She'll give you some information about motel or hotel rooms. And then, by the way, go on Google. You know, somebody mentioned to me, there's a wonderful hotel I checked in. That was $400 a night. I said, not. No way. So I got on Google, you know, with hotels, you know, and motels, got something a lot cheaper than that for myself. But hey, if you got the money, go ahead and do that too. But if you're like me, I decided, no, I don't think so. Everything's very accessible there on I-99 anyway, so you can get around. You don't need to pay that incredible cost if you're going to stay in town. Of course, you might want to just drive in or something. Whatever, that's up to you. But you'll find out all the details, and you can register and pay with your charge card or whatever by calling Julia at 202-544-5977. Now, please call Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, just during the workday, Monday through Thursdays, Eastern time, and ask for Julia. Now, she's not in. Say, well, I need to talk to somebody about the conference with Tex Mars and David Irving. And tell them Tex sent you, okay? They'll treat you real nice there. Julie always treats me nice. I'm sure she'll treat you nice, too. The folks there at AFP are real fine people. Okay, again, the one-night conference, one evening. We're not going to be there all night, I promise you that. In fact, I've already been told if I speak too long, they're going to cut me off. And so I'll probably speak too long just to see what they do to cut me off. Michael Collins, Piper, get ready. I'm going to speak and all night long. You'll have to cut me off. And I'm a lot bigger than you. I'm twice the man you are. Of course, I know pounds are not everything. But okay. All right. Let's return to our regular program now. By the way, on that conference, if you go to my webpage, powerofprophecy.com, not only can you read all the free articles and see some free videos and things like that, but you'll also see a big ad for this. So if you forget the phone number and want some more details, you'll see my picture and David Irving's there. He's a lot more handsome than me, but that doesn't mean I can't speak as well as him. But anyway, both our pictures are there. See, I'm already getting limbered up, Jerry, from our roasting of the AFP crowd there at the conference. Okay. The Jewish Comedy Club. I'm sort of in line here, you know. I'm not going to give you any filthy stuff, but, you know, we're going to have a little comedy maybe, huh? Think of it. You know, I wonder if Whoopi Goldberg, I doubt if she's Jewish. She may be a black Jew converted like Sammy Davis Jr. did, you know. But Whoopi Goldberg, boy, what a loudmouth anti-American gal that is. Look, folks, I want you to think of some of these people. And you may say, well, some of their comedy was okay. I'll admit that. And the names are incredible. By the way, the Jews have a nasty habit, and it's this. If you're a Gentile, you're probably not going to get a break. The reason why all these comedy clubs and all these TV gigs are given to Jews is because the Jewish producers invite them. They don't invite many Gentiles. They have to have a few token Gentiles. But generally, every comedian you're going to see on TV is going to be a Jew. They take care of each other. And so, you know, look, Merv Griffin, Jewish. George Gobel, Jew. Steve Carroll, Jew. Steve Martin, Jew. Jimmy Kimmel, a Jew. Remember the whole crew? All four of them, I think it was, on Seinfeld? Well, Jerry Seinfeld was Jewish. The guy that played Kramer was a Jew. The little Dreyfus girl, I forget what part she played on the program. I've seen it just a few times. She's Jewish. The guy that played George or whatever, I think his name, Costanza, Jewish. Hey, they're all Jewish. We go back to the dirty comedians that were admitted. They love to say dirty words on the stage. One of them was arrested one time, but now you can say anything you want to. Lenny Bruce was his name. He was Jewish. Remember George Carlin? He loved to say the dirty words with his little ponytail and all. Yeah, he's Jewish. Adam Sandler, Jewish. Sid Caesar, well, I already talked about him, Jewish. Jack Benny, Jewish and gay. Ben Stiller, the one that I talked to you about from the movie Something About Mary, Ben Stiller, the masturbation and semen and all that stuff, junk. Yeah, that was Ben Stiller. Jewish. Joan Rivers is a real classic girl, isn't she? Joan Rivers? You know, the one that says, can we talk? Evidently, she says that, can we talk, but she doesn't mean it if you're a Christian. Joan Rivers has a sort of a celebrity gossip radio show in Los Angeles on a radio station. It seems that the radio station would go out and buy advertising. And Joan Rivers was quite popular. She would interview all these Hollywood stars and say little funny, cute little things, supposedly. Joan Rivers. And the station sold an advertisement, maybe 60 seconds or 30 seconds, to a group called Jews for Jesus. You may have heard about them. They're Jews, but they've been converted to Christianity. And they're stationed or headquartered out in Los Angeles area. And they go around preaching to Jews. They hand out leaflets. They put out a magazine. They do all kinds of things. Now, these people are really hated by other Jews. Even the name Jews for Jesus, they just despise it. Tex Morris, I like it. I like Jews for Jesus. If they really are saved and born again in Jesus Christ, wonderful. I love it. They're going to be in heaven with me. Now, folks, there's a rumor out there saying that Tex Morris doesn't believe that Jews can go to heaven. Let me cough before I clear up my throat. That's nonsense. Anyone of any race, any ethnic group can go to heaven if they have faith and believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in Galatians 3, read verses 26 through 29, it says it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. I actually use the word Greek there, Jew or Greek. We're all the same in Jesus Christ. Now, if you reject Jesus, I don't care if you're a Greek or a German or an Italian or a Mexican or an American. You're going to go straight to hell. That's just the way it is. Boy, Tex, you believe in hell? Yes, I do. And you can say all the ha-has you want, friends, but you will arrive there if you continue that attitude. Okay. Let's talk some more about Joan Rivers. It seems that during the break, they came to this commercial, and there was Jews for Jesus inviting Jews to phone them or to write in and to get some free literature telling them about the Messiah. Well, Joan Rivers came back on after the commercial was over. She came back on her microphone, and I mean she let out a string of obscenities and profanities. She called them every name in the book, that Jews for Jesus group. She said, you bunch of MFers, you bunch of blah. And she used the words. And she said, I'm going to speak to the management of this station. I don't want those you-know-whats ever again on this program. I hate them. I despise them. Boy, what a wonderful, funny lady, full of hatred toward Christians. Yeah, yeah, that's what they really feel, isn't it? Yeah, sure. Folks, I've watched these programs. I was watching a comedian. I don't even know their name. They were talking about how if it was up to them when Jesus had died, you know, they said this lie, this myth came out about Jesus being resurrected out of the grave. Well, if I'd have been in charge of the execution, I'd have turned him into mincemeat. I'd have put him in a grinder, made him into sausage. Then he couldn't have been resurrected. See, these people, they're psychopaths. They're just plain evil. Let's talk about some more. One of the things that these Jewish comedians and the producers and such in Hollywood on Broadway love to do is dress men up in women's clothes. They love cross-dressers, you know, because most of them are homosexuals, let's face it. And they love to degrade the masculinity of men. And this goes back a long way. I remember in the 50s, there was a best-selling movie with Tony Curtis. He played in a lot of comedy movies. Remember Tony Curtis? Handsome man. His real name was not Curtis, of course. He was Jewish. But the movie was Some Like It Hot. If I can remember right, I think Marilyn Monroe played in the movie. Jack Lemmon, he was also a Jewish comedian. He and Tony Curtis, so there you have two Jews in the movie with Marilyn Monroe, who had converted to Judaism, by the way. Some other people, I think recently there was another movie called White Chicks, about two men dressing up I think they were detectives or something. I can't really remember, but the movie was called White Chicks. But again, this is very, very common for the Jewish comedians. One Jewish comedian comes from Great Britain, and he disguises himself as a character named Bruno. Bruno. His real name actually is Cohen. He's a Jew. But Cohen, or Bruno as he calls himself, he's done movies, and they've been very popular movies, evidently. And in one of them, he kisses his own sister. That's part of the plot. And talks about how much he enjoys incest. There's your Jewish comedian. You know, one of the most famous rabbis in America is Shmuley Boteach from Los Angeles. He put out a book. I think it sort of has a laughable title, but he says it's a serious book. It's called Kosher Sex. Kosher Sex by Shmuley Rabbi. I don't call him rabbi, but he calls himself rabbi. The Bible says don't call anybody rabbi because the word rabbi in Hebrew means master. Don't call any man master, said Jesus, except your Father in heaven. You see, the Jews were calling Jesus master. Master, we have a question for you, they would say. But you see, the problem was they did not believe Jesus was Lord, that he was Messiah, that he was Savior. So he came right back at him and says, basically, why are you calling me master? Don't call anybody master except the Father in heaven. Whoa. Well, Jesus was one with the Father. He was basically saying, if you don't recognize me, if you don't acknowledge me as God in flesh, then don't say it. Don't call me rabbi. Isn't that interesting? He never wanted to be called rabbi. Recently, I had a comedic situation. There's a Jewish guy that supposedly converted to Christianity. I think he lives in Phoenix. And he has a little radio show there and has a website. And he and one of his pals, you know, have been very active criticizing Tex Mars. They call me anti-Semite. Now, this guy likes to call himself a rabbi. I'm Rabbi so-and-so, Goldstein or whatever. I don't remember his name. But I'm the rabbi here, you know, on radio. I'm the rabbi. Right away, you know the guy's not with God because Jesus says, don't call any man master. Don't call anybody rabbi. By the way, I don't even like to use the word reverend. I think that's silly. Reverend means you've got to revere somebody, adore them, honor them. Hey, folks, if you go to my November meeting, November 16th in Washington, D.C., please call me Tex. That's my name. Or I'll give you a little secret. It's actually Texy. T-E-X-E. Would you? Now, don't tell anybody. Jerry, you're laughing. See there? Jerry is already laughing. Because my real name is Texie. You know, my mother still calls me that. I don't know why. She calls me Texie. I've never been called anybody but only my mother. I said, Mom, why did you name me Texie? That's what the E is for in the end. She said, well, you know, you're like Jim and Jimmy, Bob and Bobby. Well, there's Tex. She said, I wanted to name you after the state of Texas, Tex. But then somebody said, well, you know, you ought to call him Texie. Like Jim and Jimmy and okay. So they did it. And then the midwife who delivered me, that's right, a midwife delivered me in some little town called Fred, Texas. By the way, have you ever heard the joke, Jerry? You know, there's all these funny names for Texas towns. There's, you know, so many hundreds and hundreds of towns in Texas. And three of them are, let's see, Alice. There's one called Alice. There's a town called Fred. And there's one called Comfort. And there's the old joke, you know, I slept in Comfort between Fred and Alice. You know, if you stopped overnight in Comfort at a motel, I slept in Comfort between Fred and Alice. People won't know what you're talking about, but they may or may not laugh, but okay, I said it. Just an old joke, okay? I was actually born in Fred, Texas, and the midwife delivered me, and all the rest of them was fifth, in a family of six kids. I was the fifth. So had four before me. And they were all told to go outside and wait till I was born. So they were outside and the midwife was in with my mom and dad, you know, delivering me. And just about that time, a aircraft flew over. Now, we didn't have any aircraft back in those days. This is prehistoric. This was back during, you know, the Flint Man or whatever he's called, you know, the Flint Stones. Yeah, it was way back, you know. But there was an airplane, one of these propeller jobs that flew overhead. And it's interesting, my mother... But, you know, the kids all ask, how's he going to be born? And they said he's going to be delivered by an airplane. You used to say it was by a stork. But my mother wanted to be a little unique and original. She said he's going to be delivered by an airplane. And sure enough, this is a true story. An airplane flew over our house down in primitive East Texas, in the piney woods of East Texas. And they said, there, look, he's being delivered. And it wasn't but a few minutes that they called in all the kids, and they said, okay, he's here. And they all come running in to see the new baby. That was me, Tex. And then they got the birth certificate, you know, the midwife had, and she has the name. They said Texie. And she said, well, how do I spell that? I've never had a Texie. Well, my mother didn't know either. They were backwoods, you know, people. And third grade education, my mom and dad. Really, third grade education. My dad used to joke. You know, he said, I went all the way through school. I went in one door and out the other, all the way through. But anyway, brilliant guy for no education. Let me tell you something. That guy was smart. A lot of old timers back then were. You know, they just had family, poor families, and lived back in the boonies. Well, in any case, they didn't know how to spell it. So the midwife said, well, I'll just put an E on the end. My mother said, okay. So that's, you know, what it stated. I don't know why I told that story. But anyway, let's talk about some more of the Jewish comedians here, because I do want you to know about them. You know, there's one called Larry David. He was actually the writer of all the plots and everything for the Seinfeld series. Now he has his own called Curb Your Enthusiasm. And, you know, I was flipping channels, and suddenly there was Curb Your Enthusiasm playing on HBO, naturally. And Larry David, he's an actor. He's a strange sort of guy. And there they were doing a segment, you know, hour-long show called Curb Your Enthusiasm. And they were talking about, let me just give you the plot real quick, because I watched about 7 minutes of it. Evidently, this is true, by the way, he's married in the show to a Gentile woman. Her name was Cheryl. So Larry, who plays himself in the HBO series, comedy series, is telling her, one of his Jewish friends, he's Jewish, he plays a Jew, married to a Gentile. And he tells Cheryl, in the Jewish Talmud, our holy book, it says that on your 10th anniversary, you can have sex with a woman outside of marriage. Choose a woman, and if she agrees, you and she can go have sex together. Only on your 10th anniversary. And it's okay in the Jewish faith. All right? Now, folks, you may say, oh, that's crazy. And of course it is. The whole Jewish religion is nuts. You know, read my book. Read my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and I tell you what the religion is really about. People think it's Old Testament. You won't find that in the Old Testament, that on the 10th anniversary, your 10th of your wedding, you're entitled to go out and have sex with another woman. But that's in the Jewish Talmud. In fact, there's a book written by a Jewish woman. I have a copy of the book, and the title of it is A Hole in the Sheet. Now, you may say, well, what's that got to do with this 10th anniversary carnal knowledge thing? Well, let me explain it to you. See, in the Jewish religion, a husband can have sex with another woman outside of his marriage on the 10th anniversary. That evening, he can have sex with another woman. But he's got to take a sheet, and he has to cut a little hole in it where the woman's organ is. And he lays it over the woman, or tells her to. She lays it over her naked body. And then he lays on top of her, and they have relations that way, through the hole in the sheet. Now, you may be thinking, that is a comedy thing. That's crazy. You're making this up. That's some smutty comedian. I'm telling you, folks, that's in the Jewish Talmud. And there is a book, and you can look it up. I don't know if it's still in print. I think it's by a Jewish woman named Kay Wood. And she talks about that. You know, and in this TV show that I watched the 7 or 8 minutes of with Larry David, he's talking, his friend's telling him, you got to have the sheet, and you got to have put the hole in it and all that other stuff. And he's going out to meet this other woman at this hotel to have sex with her on his 10th anniversary. Now, his wife didn't really want him to do it. She was quite upset about it. But he told her, I've talked to the rabbi, and it's true. It's in the Talmud. And it actually is. Folks, let me tell you something about the Talmud. It's one of the most filthy, sexually vulgar books that you'll ever read. It's the book that has the 613 laws that Jews are to comply with. See, the Bible says that God writes the laws for us who believe in Jesus Christ in our hearts. We have a conscience. We know what those laws are. You say, oh, I don't. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If you become a Christian, God will let you know what is sin and what is not sin. He writes it. He inscribes it in your heart. Conscience. You'll know. The Holy Spirit is going to be in you and will guide you in all things. Well, they don't have the Holy Spirit. So they have to have the Talmud, and it's got 613 laws in it. And you got to obey all 613 laws. Paul said if you disobey even one, you're going to go to hell. Well, that's not, you know, I don't know if that, basically, if you've disobeyed one, you've disobeyed them all. So the Jews are very, some of them, the Orthodox Jews, the most radical, are very fanatical about obeying all these 613 laws. One of the, and there's all kind of principles for living in the Talmud. One of them says you can charm a snake. You like be a magician and charm a snake, but only on the Sabbath. A snake may be charmed on the Sabbath. Isn't that strange? Charming a snake. Sounds a little devilish to me. And it says you really should not have sex with a woman outside of marriage or an unmarried woman. But if you happen to fall off of a roof and you land on her and you penetrate her because of this terrible accident of falling off the roof on top of her, that's acceptable. You have not sinned. See, they'll do anything to try to avoid the laws. You remember Playboy magazine, Hugh Hefner? He's Jewish. All those filthy jokes and cartoons in Playboy. There's a good example. Probably he thought, well, I'm just obeying the Talmud and all of its stuff. By the way, one of the things in the Talmud says you can have sex with a shiksa. That's a Gentile woman. That's a, basically calling her a slut. You can have sex then with a slutty Gentile woman. They're all animals and sluts, according to the Talmud, Gentiles. And it's not as excessive and bad as having sex with a Jewish woman outside of marriage. It's only a small little problem. And you will only receive a small punishment, a tiny punishment from God. But you get a heavier, excessive penalty if you do it to a Jewish woman. Folks, it doesn't matter where you look for these comedians. I mean, you can go back. Recently, Barbara Streisand and some of the others did supposedly what they thought was a funny movie. And it was entitled The Fokers or something like that. F-O-K-K-E-R-S. Hey, you know what they're getting at, don't you? Of course. You go on and on about these people. Sex. The sexual act. Bathroom. The grossness of bathroom humor. On and on and on. You join the Jewish comedy club, friends, and, well, you find out what it's all about. By the way, the Fox Network has hired a Jewish comedian. His last name is Gutfeld, and he makes no bones about it. He's gay. He's a gay man. His name is Gutfeld. He's on every night. He has a show called Red. I think it's on, well, it's on one night at least. Not every night, but I think it's on Saturday night. It's called Red Eye. And he's also a guest frequently on the Bill O'Reilly Factor as well. Well, folks, I've just barely touched the dirty whatever of the Jewish comedy club. What they're doing is wrecking the moral fabric of America. What they're doing is putting us in the cesspool of life. It's really a shame. It's really a shame. There are a lot of things that happen in human life every day that are funny, that we can smile about. There's nothing wrong with laughter. There's nothing wrong with good, clean jokes and having fun together. But there is something wrong with those who are members of the Jewish comedy club. And America is the worst for it. This is Tex Mars. It's been my pleasure to be with you today. So glad you could be with me as well as my guest right here. We're being broadcast across the world. My prayer is you'll tune in each week on Power of Prophecy and discover the great power that does exist in Bible prophecy.